with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I like to just read the last two verses in the chapter here because the last two verses are a summary of what's taken place. And it's a familiar passage to you. But verses 30 and 31 of Exodus 14, we read, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." This miracle at the Red Sea is referred to often throughout the Scripture because it's a demonstration of God's great power and great grace. That's what's required to save a sinner. God's great power and great grace. It's a picture of the salvation of the redeemed. And Moses, afterwards, chapter 15, he leads the children of Israel in a song of praise to God. Look, if you will, at verse 9 of chapter 15, referring to Pharaoh. "The enemy said, I will." Now listen to this. "The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them." Pretty bold talk. Pretty bold talk. But look, if you will, at verse 28 back in chapter 14. "And the waters returned." This is God's will. "And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." Whose will prevailed? Whose will determined the outcome? It wasn't Pharaoh. He was a mighty king, was. But he was not the King of Kings or Lord of Lords. God's will prevailed. It always does. Look at verse 29 of chapter 14. But, I love that word. So often we find it in God's word, but. Blessed intervention of His sovereign grace. But God. Does that matter? Does that make any difference? Is that a factor at all? Absolutely. The only reason the children of Israel walked on dry ground while Pharaoh was drowned was because God. God made a difference. He told Moses, "Tell them that they may know God puts a difference between Israel and the Egyptians." Thank God for His sovereign, distinguishing grace. Paul said, "I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." I dare say, and it's not a dare after all, really, pretty safe to say that all of you, like me, on a Friday night, on a beautiful spring evening, this would be the last place you would have been found but for the grace of God. Any place but here. Oh, but grace has made us to differ. As Paul said, we were once dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians chapter 2, that very familiar passage. Let me read a few verses to you. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and among whom also we all," every one of us, "had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Just like everyone else. Thank God it doesn't stop there. But God. But God didn't leave this sinner there. He didn't leave me where I wanted to be. I loved the darkness, hated the light, and would still be in darkness. But God, Mike, but God. Someone asked me, why would God save you? I don't know. I don't know. It just pleased Him to do so. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we're dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. Yes, God makes the difference. Look at verse 13 in Exodus 15. Included in this song of praise to God, the children of Israel sing this. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. It doesn't speak of everyone, does it? He led forth the same people that He redeemed. The same ones were in the house with the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled upon the doorpost and the lintel. These same people that were redeemed are brought forth through the Red Sea. Not a different people. Redemption, unless those who are redeemed are in time brought forth, are called by God's mighty grace, redemption wouldn't mean a thing. Wouldn't mean a thing otherwise. Oh, but thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was not shed in vain. Was not shed in vain. He leads forth the people which He had redeemed. God had highly exalted Him. Why? Why? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2. And in the next verse we read, wherefore? Wherefore? Not because Christ failed. Not because He merely attempted to do something. Oh no, because He obtained eternal redemption for us. Wherefore? God exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name. The theme of this song in chapter 15 of Exodus is the glory of God. Look at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. Oh, don't you like this, child of God? I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. He always does, doesn't He? He always does. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The song praises God, not man. It gives the glory to the one from whom they received all the grace. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name's sake give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. As we said, the last two verses of chapter 14 just sums up what had taken place. Some of us remember. A fellow by the name of Walter Cronkite, remember him? Years ago, he was an anchor on one of the evening news broadcasts. And every evening after delivering the day's news, he would end his broadcast the same way, with the same words. He would say, and that's the way it is, and give the date. And this is what we read here. Thus God saved Israel. That's the way it was. The Lord saved Israel that day. If there is a sinner tonight or tomorrow or Sunday, if God Almighty is pleased, then I pray that He is. If He's pleased to reach down the hand of His omnipotent grace and pick some sinner up out of the miry clay, out of that horrible pit, and set him up on the solid rock, that foundation of everlasting acceptance, Jesus Christ Himself. If that takes place, it will be because thus the Lord did it. It won't be done any other way. Because salvation is of the Lord. Someone asked me the other day, what do you mean by that? Which part of salvation? I said, all the parts. All of them. All the parts are of the Lord. My granddaughter, when she was a couple of years younger, and she's only 7 now, but she would get a storybook and climb up on my lap, Marvin, one of my favorite things, and she would start to read. Papa, I'm going to read you a story. I say, well, have at it. And she'd start to read, and she'd come across the word that was a little bit too much for her. But she wouldn't ask me to pronounce it. She would just try and try. And then she'd look up at me and say, Paul, that's a big word. And God's salvation, that's a big word. It's a big work. It's a great work requiring great grace for great sinners. I couldn't help remembering Brother Scott Richardson, how often I heard him say he would lean over a pulpit wherever he was preaching and say, I wonder, is there any sinners in the house? Is there a great sinner here tonight requiring God's great grace? Look at verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. May God be pleased to allow us to see that great work this weekend. One woman under conviction of sin, seeking God's mercy and grace, prayed, Oh Father, oh God, if you'll have mercy on me, if you'll forgive this undeserving sinner, you'll never hear the end of it. You'll never hear the end of it. I'll never quit thanking you for it. And the people, we read in verse 31, feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. They stood in wonder and awe before such a God as that. The hymn writer expressed it this way. He said, And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. I can't either. I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And He took them all away. What a joy it must have been for Moses to stand on the other side of the Red Sea and see all their enemies destroyed. But more than that, to see all Israel safe on the other side. What a joy it must have been to him. What a comfort. John is on the Isle of Patmos. And he is, it's open before him a vision of a multitude that no man can number. And the elder asked him, Who are these, John, that are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And John said, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. My soul, what an evidence of God's amazing grace. They all came out. Has there ever been a war, a conflict of any duration whatsoever in which there weren't casualties? No, there are always casualties. Not here. The great shepherd of the sheep loses none. It will be the boast of King Jesus in that day, Father, they're all here. They're all here. I lost none. When these services are over, I pray that we'll stand with a renewed appreciation of God's mercy and grace. And stand in holy awe of Him, the captain of our salvation, our great God and Savior, and in heartfelt worship, leave here exclaiming what they did. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you.